Hello and welcome to the Pop Console Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Jacob. And today's episode is the sequel to last week's episode. I'm going to talk about Metal Gear Solid 2 and Metal Gear Solid 3 because I want to lump them in together. Because I don't know if I have like that much to say about it. Maybe I do. All right. Metal Gear Solid 1. As you know, I borrow it from a friend. I play the shit out of it, maybe once a year, and never own it. So Metal Gear Solid 2 happens. It's PlayStation 2 time. And it's funny because Metal Gear Solid 1 was and is one of my favorite games of all time. You would think that I'd be like, I need Metal Gear Solid 2 fucking right. No! But I don't think that's the way I felt back in the day. I really don't. And I remember seeing coverage about Metal Gear Solid 2 on, Tech TV, which is G4. Or I don't think G4 even exists anymore, but whatever. I don't watch TV, so somebody reach out to me and let me know. So I'd seen it, but I'm not sure if I got, I don't think I was like stoked or anything for it. I wasn't like, yo, I have to have this. I got to play this. Maybe I was, I just don't remember. But one of my friends, this is very interesting. This is very interesting. So one of my other friends gets Metal Gear Solid 2 for the PlayStation 2. And this one makes more sense to me on how you would just buy it. Like, I don't know, like the... So my friend from the last episode says, you know, he sees a cardboard cutout and is like, this looks cool, can I have it? I think the other one's a little bit easier. It's years later. There's probably commercial. Like, he's probably seen what I've seen. It just the graphics are miles and miles better because it's on a PS2. And, you know, it's like, the controls are a little different. The camera angle is pretty much the same, but the controls are different. Everything's better, like, in that regard. The graphics are, like, pretty cutting edge at this point. So yeah, I can see how you could just see the game and be like, oh, I want that. Like, I just don't know if you could see Metal Gear 1 and be like, oh, that's pretty fucking cool. So I didn't even think about it. Like, the game's out. I don't play it. I'm not even thinking about it, but he lets me borrow it. And I'm pretty certain that he had never even played Metal Gear 1. So his whole, this is a different friend, by the way. This is not friend from episode 16. This is a friend from episode 17. So there you go. So he, and I would use these friends' names, but I don't have permission and I don't really, it's not that important to the podcast. I know who I'm talking about. If they listen, they'll know who I'm talking about. But anyway, so I get, I guess first names wouldn't be that big of a deal. But I get, I don't remember what the fuck I was just saying. No, so I don't think he played the first game, which is funny, that his entire, like, introduction to the series is the second game, and it's the same, but way different, and the characters are different, and how you get introduced to characters is much different, and that's pretty different. So, different. Is it different? I think it is. So, I do get to borrow this game from him. I don't remember when I borrowed it, to be honest. I don't think it was near launch. It had to be, I mean, honestly, I don't remember. He had it. he's not playing anymore. He's already beaten it like 100 times. You know, whatever. I do remember he came over one time with the game and we played it. I was like, oh yeah, I've played the first one. And he gave it to me at like the end of the game. And he had like 50 rations. He was like, oh, he's like, don't worry about it. Just play it. Like, you'll never die. I played a few minutes of it and I was like, oh, I want to play the game from the beginning. So he lets me borrow it and I play it from the beginning. And again, a lot of people are upset by Metal Gear Solid 2 because the main character changed from Solid Snake to, Raiden. So if you were a fan of the first one, you built up this huge relationship with the character. Now that is done, and or at least playing as the character, it's pretty much done. So you play as Solid Snake for the first 20 or 30 minutes of that game, and then that's just like the prologue, and then Solid Snake gets fucked up and he's, you know, whatever. A new credits roll, and it's like, hey, here's your new character, and you're like, who the fuck is this? And see, I never had that problem. I didn't care. I was like, just tell me the story you want to tell me. Whatever. If this is the game, this is the game. I was not, where's Solid Snake? Solid Snake is fucking cool. Okay. But I'm not going to tell the guy who made the game that he should have done it different. So I liked the character and I liked the story. I don't think I understood a lot of it. And I know that sounds funny saying, because I don't think anyone understands most of Metal Gear Solid. So I had no problems though in that area. I didn't care about playing as Raiden. And then Solid Snake eventually comes back up into the game, and your main character, Raiden, doesn't know he's Solid Snake. He just thinks he's some Navy SEAL. And I always thought that was pretty cool. You're like, oh, but I know who this is. I've seen this man before, and I've seen what he can do. Okay? So I always appreciated that approach. I think that's cool. Yeah, I just never had a problem with it. So, same things, though. It's the cinematography is great. The character design is great. The boss battles are great. The Fat Man battle is hilarious. I have a story about the Fat Man battle. So you have to fight a guy who makes bombs, who has made bombs and planted them all over the oil refinery or oil rig in the ocean that you're at. And you have to disable the bombs. And then once you disable them all, you go up to the top of the oil tanker thing, and you have to fight him. And so he's a bomb suit wearing fat guy wearing roller skates so he can get around easier. Not skates, blades. He's wearing roller blades. And sorry, babe, my wife plays roller derby, so that's, she'd be pissed off if I called rollerblades roller skates. They were blades. So after you, oh, and he's drinking a martini with like a little straw. So that's also fun. It's like Colin Moriarty's favorite boss battle. It's his favorite character. He talks about it all the time, any chance he gets. So after you've beat him and you're like, cool, I shot him, killed him, and I don't have to worry about this asshole anymore. He gives you some fucking speech at the end. He's like, but there's one more bomb and you must stop it before the whole place blows. Oh, Jesus. He's like, you better go find it. I'm like, where the fuck could this bomb be? Okay? This place is huge. Like, what the fuck? And I And they give you like this bomb detector that can detect like areas of the bomb. So it's like gives off this like gas visual. So you're like, okay, the bomb's somewhere in this area. I gotta find it. And I'm like, where the fuck could it be? So I'm just angry at this point because I just found all the bombs and I killed this asshole. And now I have to find this last bomb. So I took out my M16 and I shot the shit out of him, like his dead body. I was just like, bah, 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 and then everything exploded and I died. And I was like, what? And sure enough, the bomb was on him. And that's how I found out. It took me 2 seconds just because I was angry. So I shot at him and it exploded the bomb. So what you're supposed to do is move his corpse and then disable the bomb. So that I always thought that was pretty funny. My anger led me to the answer, which is rarely the case in almost anything you do in life. Yeah, so Metal Gear Solid 2, I don't have a crazy ton to say about this game. I think it might be one of the more confusing games in the series. I think it is the most confusing. There's like artificial intelligence and things aren't what they seem and you're being controlled and like, is this real life? Is it a simulation? I don't know what's going on with this game. It's a fun game, no doubt. A lot of the boss battles are still pretty good. You know, there's some humor in it. There's a swimming sequence that always gives me anxiety because the controls are so bad that it's like, they're not the worst, but it's always nerve-wracking to me when I'm playing a game that I already know doesn't control that well. And I'm like, you got to go underwater and swim around. Don't hit any of the bombs. Like, oh my fucking God, dude. So that's the one part that gives me anxiety in that game. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any like real vivid memories of a lot in that game. But one of the memories I do have is playing on the, there was a TV. So in my living room, we had the TV, the main TV where my parents would watch TV. And then on a separate wall on the floor, there was an older TV that we had before they upgraded. And I would play games on that sometimes, and just like lay on the floor and play them. And late at night, I was playing this game, and that's when the old Hideo Kojima trick fucking came to bite me in the ass. And I really had been playing all night. Like, I had been playing this game for hours, and I just got to this point where the colonel from the game, someone who contacts you via that radio, the codec, he contacts you in this like skull fucking face, like it's all distorted, and he's like, you know, you should really stop playing. You've been playing a long time now. And he's like, oh, doing all this shit. And that freaked me out. And the reason is because I had been playing a long time. And he's like, you should turn the game off and you should do this. And I did. I fucking turned the game off. I was like, what? Huh? Okay. I don't want to play it either. Cause fuck that. So I turned it off. And, you know, talked about it with my friends the next day at school. Like, what the fuck, dude? What is this? And obviously I came back to it, beat the game after that. But, yeah, I don't know. There's an ending that the end was like weird that I don't get. You have to beat Metal Gear Rays, a bunch of them. Solid Snake comes in at the last minute and he's all decked out in his Solid Snake shit. And you're like, oh yeah, woo. Which is why I kind of like the game is because he's there, but they give you a little taste. You're like, yeah, give you a little taste. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't have a whole lot to say about the game, but I wanted to talk about the third one too then because, you know, whatever. Third one, Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater.
Snake Eater!
Also, here's another beer. This is three for the night. This episode won't go live until another week, but I am recording them back to back. So if I start, I know these aren't great because I am going to get a little drink here, but I'm recording them and I'm posting them. So Snake Eater, this was the first Metal Gear that I purchased, that I owned. And I remember I was pretty stoked for this one. This one I was like, I was ready for. I remember I have a magazine. I should have dug it out of the box. But there was a cover. I think it was PSM. And Snake was on the cover. And sorry, I almost hiccuped a little right there. But I read that shit front to back. Or maybe it was official PlayStation Magazine. I'm not sure. But I had a demo disc of Snake Eater, and it was like the first little area before you rescue the scientist making the Shagohod, which was the Metal Gear from 1964. Because Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater was a prequel to all of the Metal Gears. And it did not feature Solid Snake either. It was Solid Snake's clone father. So we haven't played as Solid Snake since Metal Gear Solid 1, which is why Metal Gear Solid 4 is such a treat, and I will get to that later. But I played that demo. Oh man, I fucking played that demo. The setting was so wildly different. You're mostly outdoors. You have camouflage, uniforms or whatever, whatever. And you have to go in and change your camo to match whatever environment you're in. And there's a little meter that tells you how hidden you are. And I loved this. I was like, this is fucking awesome. Like, it just, like, this is, it felt like a natural progression to the game. Like, okay, now I'm in the grassy area, put on some grass camo. I'm in a muddy area, put on some brown camo. I'm in whatever. It's when whatever you're wearing is like in the cutscenes, and like, it was cool. The cutscenes in this game I thought were excellent. A lot of the, I don't know, I wasn't a huge fan of the bosses in this one. There was a few standouts, like there's a boss called The End. I think is he The End? Shit, I gotta look that up now. Because I don't need any fucking hate mail about this. That's for sure. I think The End is a super old wheelchair-bound man. The End, MGS 3. Bow, bow, wow! And yes, okay. So he's a super old guy. It's fucking hilarious because, first of all, the battle isn't just like a boss battle where you are in an area where you just beat the boss. The end is in several stages in the game. There's a lot of loading screens in MGS3. So like there would be a whole section of like forest and terrain that you'd have to go through. And then to get to the next part, there's like a clear path that you walk through and it would load into another section of forest. So there was about three or four of those that you had to fight the end at. And the only way to fucking find this guy, at least for me, I've only played the boss battle a couple times, but is you would have to look for his sniper or his sniper rifle scope, and if it like glinted off the sun and you could see like a little thing, then you could shoot him. You could sneak up on him, I think, but that was difficult. But that was very creative and I would say groundbreaking, at least for the series boss battle. It was fun. He could also sneak up on you. So if you were looking, if you got to a vantage point and you were like surveying the forest looking for that little sun flick off the scope, and you heard like this, he would like run up behind you and, you know, beat your brains in, and then you would wake up in the prison and you have to go fucking find him again. But that was fucking cool. There was a lot of iconic shit in this game. There's a ladder that you climb for like 10 minutes. That was a thing while the song plays. The Snake Eater song. So that's nice. And then the boss battle with... it's not a boss battle, really. It's the... it's a boss thing with the Sorrow. And he's already dead, so he's like a ghost. And you have to just walk through this, like, river. And it shows, like, all the fucking people that you've killed. Like, they appear as ghosts and, like, try to fuck you up. So that, I mean, that was crazy. Again, it's very, very thoughtful. That's a good adjective to say about the Metal Gear series. That's a good way to describe, you could just wrap it up. Thoughtful. They are very thoughtful games. Hideo Kojima does not do shit like random. It's very planned, and I'm lucky we have, or I'm thankful we have people like him in our game industry who make things that just are a little outside the box. So yeah, Metal Gear Solid 3, I bought that. That was the first one I owned, and I played the majority of it at one of my other friends' house. I guess he's friend number 3. And we played it. He watched me play it because, again, I have the literacy, I suppose, on how to play it better than someone who hasn't played Metal Gear games. Now, I don't remember when. I should look this up, but so Metal Gear Solid 3 had controls that were the same as 1 and 2 for a while. I don't remember at what point that it changed. MGS3 control 3D. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Okay. So Metal Gear Solid 3 is Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater. That's the game. They did this with MGS 2 and 3. They released discs. They re-released the game with extra content, stuff like that. So you've got like bonus missions or VR missions or whatever. And in Metal Gear Solid 3 Subsistence, which was the re-release, they updated the camera angle so you can have a 3D camera. So I traded in my Snake Eater copy and I got Subsistence and I played that. And that made the game much more enjoyable, having it in 3D. So, that game took me a while to beat. I'm not a huge fan of like a lot of the stuff, but or a lot of the bosses. Like I said earlier, there's a few that I really enjoyed, but I don't know. It didn't quite grab me the same way as the other ones, boss wise. But I did love the camo, and I did love you would like have to heal yourself. So you get shot and you had to take the bullet out and you had to bandage it and you had to do everything a certain way. And I really liked it. Now I've since gone back and tried to play this on Vita. I bought the HD collection, which on Vita, which was MGS2 and MGS3. And I beat all of 2, and I really had a good time with it on Vita. Touch controls seemed right at home with holding the menu, the L2 and R2, just using the touchscreen to do that. That was really intuitive. Now, MGS3, however, is kind of hard to go back to because it's kind of really fucking annoying to have to go into a menu, a start menu, and change your camouflage like every fucking time you want to do that. It's not, especially after coming off of Metal Gear Solid 4, it's just not fun. So I didn't even finish that. You know what? I'm going to throw in, Peace Walker. I bought Peace Walker on Vita. It's the PSP version and you can just play it on Vita. And I hated it because the PSP controls made the camera use triangle, circle, X, and square, which is fucking ridiculous. And I don't think you could have changed that in the version. I could be wrong. Either way, I repurchased that on PS3. There was some sort of a remaster or port, and you could use the sticks, and I played it just to get the story for MGS5, and the game's story is good. The characters are good. Didn't care for the game, though. I didn't care. I just did not care for it. I didn't really like it at all. I don't know. I just didn't like it. So, and I had played it after 4, so kind of going back a bit in quality, but I don't know, I didn't grab me, but the story is good, and I was a bit necessary to jump into 5, but I don't know, that's my 2 and 3 and Peace Walker fucking episode. I don't know, I love the games, I just don't, you know, have that jumping off crazy memory like I do with the first one and number 4. And number 4 is, might not be coming after this one. I might record it and sit on it. It's a pretty important episode to me. So we'll see what I do with that. But if you want to let me know how fucking bad this episode was, boy, do I know it. Please don't find me on Twitter. Just hit another episode of some other podcast. But if you want to, you know, let me know that you listen and that you enjoy these episodes, you can find me on Twitter. It's at PopconJacob. It's PopConJacob. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next week.